And just do a little summary of the early life of Jesus Christ and before he was born. And I'm just going to go briefly mentioning point by point where we started and where we are now. So, thank you, brother. Okay, very good. Today we're going to talk about the boyhood of Jesus. What happened in his during his boyhood. And we have to rely on Luke because he's the one that mentions more details on Jesus' boyhood or his childhood. But if you want to turn with me to Luke, we're going to be there in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. But let me just give you a picture of where we are so far. Okay, this is Luke chapter 2. So the first place where were Mary and Joseph when they were announced of the birth of Jesus? Where were they living? For the teddy? What was that? Okay, Nazareth. Okay, we're starting up in the north, in Galilee. Okay? That's where they were, Nazareth. Now, the angel Gabriel announced to Mary the birth of Jesus. And then shortly afterwards, we don't know how much time it passed, but the angel of the Lord announces to Joseph the birth of Jesus. And both of them, as we understand from the scripture, were up north in Galilee in a city called Nazareth. So what happened then? Luke 2, the first five verses of Luke 2 will tell us that they were in Nazareth. But then where did they travel after Nazareth? To which city? Not yet. But it's close, coming soon. But where did they travel after Nazareth? To Bethlehem? And what was the purpose? The census, to be for the census. They came down for a census to the city of Bethlehem. So both Mary and Joseph came down and pray. And Mary was what when she came to Bethlehem? She was pregnant. Almost the days were coming. If they knew of the prophecy of Micah 5:2, we don't know. They might have known. Probably they knew. Probably they did not know. Wouldn't it be wonderful that they knew what was going to happen? And she said, here we go, but we're going to Bethlehem. And just like the prophecy said, we're going to deliver and have a son down there. But maybe they knew, maybe they didn't know. We're not told that. So they went to Bethlehem. Now what happened in Bethlehem? Of course, Jesus is born. But then what other events happened in that city? Okay, the angels announced to the shepherds out in the field what just had happened. The birth of Jesus, the King of the Jews, was born, the long-awaited Messiah. So that's the shepherds. Right away, they go and find that manger in Bethlehem. That's just, I imagine, within the same day he was born, just right away, I went to look for him. And they found him in Bethlehem. Okay, now what happened? I assume it happened in Bethlehem as well. But what happened eight days after Jesus was born? Okay, he was circumcised. Okay? So we're just seeing a chronology of the events, how they happened. Because sometimes we read pieces in Matthew, pieces in Luke, and then at least for me, sometimes it's hard to put them all together. But when you go slow, piece by piece, then you can see the whole picture, how everything developed. And especially because Luke skips some of the things that happened that Matthew tells us when we read first and second book chapter of Matthew. Okay, so they are in Bethlehem, the boy is circumcised. Okay, and now, after he was circumcised, what happened afterwards, chronologically? If somebody can remember, what happened afterwards, as far as the Bible tells us? They went to Jerusalem? Yes, for what purpose? Correct. That's right. So how many days went after he was born to the point he could be taken to the temple to be presented to the Lord? How many days at least? Correct? Okay, but remember that Mary has to be purified first. Correct. Yeah, so it was 40 days for her purification according to the law. So she couldn't go to the temple just yet. So it could have been just 40 days or it couldn't be 50 days. She just waited a few days more. But at least 40 days before she went to the temple, back to Jerusalem, to present the Lord. And we talked briefly about it, how the firstborns had to be redeemed from the Lord with money. And so they went to present them to the Lord. So that's what they did afterwards. So what happened after he was presented in the temple? And again, as far as the Bible tells us, chronologically, they went back to which city? Did they stay in Jerusalem? Correct, yes. It seems like in Mary's and Joseph's mind, even though they were from Nazareth, it seems, as far as we can read, that they wanted to raise Jesus in Bethlehem, because they did not go back right away to Bethlehem to Nazareth from Jerusalem. So they're back in Bethlehem. And now Matthew comes in and tells us what happened after they presented Jesus the boy, and then went back to Bethlehem again. Now, were they in a manger now? Was there a major feast? I mean, was there a lot of people there that there was no room for them? It was not the same background. We don't know where they were exactly, but Matthew tells us it was a house. So it was in a different place, a different day. So who comes to visit at this point? The little baby Jesus. The wise men come, okay? So now we have the wise men coming. So we don't know how many, if there's a month or maybe two or how long has it been, but now the magi come, the wise men come to visit him and they bring their presents. Now we're back in Bethlehem. Now what happened with the magi, the wise men? They talked to who? Herod found out about it, and he was not pleased to hear that the king of the Jews was born, because he wanted to be what? He wanted to be the king himself. He wanted to be the man in charge, so I don't know, he was probably paranoid, and just anything that stood in his way concerning him ruling, he was going to take him out, no matter what. Whether it be relatives, wives, whoever. And then a little child, nonetheless. So the wise man went back a different direction, and then when Herod found out about it, he was upset. And then, before this, Joseph in a dream was told to do what? To go where? To go to Egypt. So here we go. They're going to Egypt. And that's when Herod sends to kill the babies. 2 years downward. So I was telling you last time, probably last Wednesday, that for the Jews, 2 years meant after 12 months. See, you already lived 1 year, you are beginning your second year. See, for us, 2 years is your second birthday after 24 months. Right at 24 months, that's 2 years. Oh, am I correct? Oh, yeah, I think that's what it is. Okay. So, this gives us a time span. Maybe Jesus was 6 months, or maybe he was 12 months. Maybe he was less than 12 months, but just Herod wanted to be safe, if we can use that word, but he wanted to make sure he was gone. So he went all the way to 2 years, 12 months. So Jesus was in his first year. Okay, so that's what happened. So several babies are killed, sadly. But this was also in the prophecy. It was prophesied that Rachel was going to mourn for her children. So we don't know how long they stayed in Egypt. They stayed in Egypt, it could be weeks. We don't know exactly how much time they stayed there. But we do know that Herod died 4 BC. That's when Herod died, and that's when they came back 4 BC, when he died. So after Herod died, Joseph and Mary are told to come back to Israel. In other words, to Palestine. But they're not told to which city. But the Bible gives us the insight that Joseph and Mary were thinking of going back into Bethlehem again. Notice with me there in, now we're going to start there in Luke, chapter, well, that was Matthew, never mind, it's Matthew 1, going to read. But in Matthew 1, let me read verse 2:22, Matthew 2. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. He was afraid to go there. Where? To Bethlehem. So either he was told to go to Bethlehem or either they wanted to go back to Bethlehem. So, but when he found out that Archelaus, this another evil son of Herod, you know, Herod, when he died, he divided the reign between his three sons. And to this Archelaus, he gave Judea, Idumea, and Samaria, the southern part of Palestine. And to another son, he gave what is Galilee, up in the north. So this son of Herod, let me just find out where I wrote this, but in the very beginning, the son of Herod, notice why Joseph didn't want to go there. The son of Herod, Archelaus, in the very beginning of his reign, he massacred 3,000 Jews at once in the temple at the time of the Passover. Why did he massacre 3,000 Jews at the temple in the time of the Passover? Because they were complaining, they were asking for justice upon the agents who performed their barbarities during his father's reign. They were just asking for justice, all this group of Jews. And he came right new ruler, said, get him out of my sight. And he killed them all. So no wonder why Joseph, when he found out that Archelaus was reigning, he said, no way. I like Bethlehem very much. It's the city of David. We wish for our son to be raised in Bethlehem. No way we're going there. He's gonna order him killed again. So what did they decide to do? They said, we're gonna go up to Nazareth. So they went back to Nazareth. So this is more or less, a walkthrough so far what we have, how Jesus' life has been. It's been just between Nazareth, Bethlehem, short visits to Jerusalem, longer stay in Egypt, and now we're back to Nazareth. And very interesting, when we get to Nazareth, we're gonna see that Nazareth, really small town, and very insignificant town, small place, and he didn't have a very good reputation. Remember Nathaniel, when they were asking him, come see, we have found him how Moses spoke in the book. And he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Are you serious, Nazareth? Are you telling me he's from Nazareth? So this small town, but even though it was a small town, small city, insignificant, Jesus spent 9/10 of his life there. Most of his life. Except for his ministry, he went around about and all the cities. But other than that, he's been living in Nazareth, as far as the Bible tells us. So he lived there for about, 29 years or so. That's where he grew up, in the city of Nazareth. Very insignificant place, but it was a place received the Lord. And there's a really nice prophecy, very beautiful prophecy. If you want to turn with me to Isaiah, you remember Isaiah 9:6, where there's a prophecy of the child that will be born. And I love those verses. But if we go a few verses before that, we're going to see a beautiful prophecy concerning Galilee. Not specifically, Nazareth is not specifically mentioned, but Galilee is mentioned in the prophecies. So, notice Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to start just in verse 1. Notice what the, if you have it, or if not, I will read it out loud. But Isaiah 9, it says, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. He's talking about, in chapter 8, he's talking about the Syrians coming down on Israel, the northern part. And that's where Galilee was, in the north. So every time there was an attack on Palestine, from the Syrians or any other world power, but now talking about the Syrians, guess where they will start attacking from? They'll come up from the north. You know which region is on the north that was always attacked first? It was Galilee. That's why Isaiah calls it a land in darkness, as we will read. So, and then I'll keep on reading verse 1 and Isaiah 9. As when he lighted esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. That's where Galilee is. And afterward, more heavily oppress her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness have seen great light. And those who dwell in the land of the shadow of the dead, upon them a light has shined, and wonderful light has shone of them. It has been darkness for them for many years. It has been war after war. It has been just killing of people and living in the shadow of the dead. But now unto them is coming this child that is born, and is going to live with them all these years. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to have him just living there with you for all those years? But what happened when he went back during his ministry, when he went back to Nazareth, the hometown where he grew up? Did they rejoice and say, oh, this is the Messiah? That's great. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to do away with him. Say, no. You grew up here. You cannot be the Messiah. Definitely you cannot be. So, but nevertheless, the prophecy was fulfilled. And the land of the Gentiles, which was under the shadow of death, saw great light, which means they received Jesus into their land. He was living among them. Okay, so that's the city of Nazareth. Nazareth, we don't know exactly what the word means, the word Nazareth. There's a word in Hebrew, Netzer, which means a branch or sprout. And something, that's where the word Nazareth comes from. And there's another word, Nazar, which means a watchtower. And something, that's where the word Nazareth comes from. So it's uncertain. But this town is 1,159 feet above sea level. And it's on the hillside. And it's surrounded by other higher hills. And it's 15 miles west of the Sea of Galilee. That's where the city of Nazareth is located. And that's where our Lord grew up. It's interesting that he lived so much time in Nazareth that later on during Jesus' ministry, some of the people, a lot of the people didn't know that he was born in Bethlehem. He lived so long in Nazareth that they just took it for granted he was from Nazareth. And they said, can the Christ come from Nazareth? Wasn't he supposed to be born in Bethlehem? So they just took for granted, this prophet, this man who's preaching, he's from Nazareth altogether. He was born there as far as they were concerned. They didn't want to search, or they were just ignorant of where he was born. But not very many people knew that he, Jesus, was born in Bethlehem. They knew the Messiah was going to come from Bethlehem. But they just couldn't put it together that he was the one that was born in Bethlehem, because he's lived so long in Nazareth. So so we're getting closer to where we're going to start reading here a few verses. So he grew up in Nazareth. Now let's go to Luke 2. And we're going to start there in verse 39. Luke 2 verse 39. And we see how Jesus grew up with godly parents. And this is just very, very good. He grew up under godly parents. Verse 39, Luke 2:39. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. So here's just Luke giving us a summary. He skips the visit of the wise men. He keeps the fleeing to Egypt. He just tells us they went back to Nazareth. But notice how he mentions that they perform all things according to the law of the Lord. They did what? They named him according to what the angel told them to name him. They named him Jesus. And as it might seem strange to you, see a person named Jesus, it was a very popular name back then. It was just a common name. Remember Joshua? It's the same name. And Jesus, in the time of Jesus, was just another name. Like in Mexico, we have Juan, or maybe here in the United States, you have Bob, or something like that. And it very interesting, back home in Mexico, it's Jesus, there's Jesus everywhere. And Mary and Jesus and Joseph are the most common names down there in Mexico. And I think in Latin America as well. Very, very common. And just people take pride on naming their sons Jesus or Mary or even Joseph. Some of them name them Joseph Mary together. Might seem strange to you, but that's how they name him. Maria Jose is a female name. Both names. Mary and Joseph together. Okay, so they have godly parents. They named him as they were instructed. They circumcised him as they were instructed by the law. They presented him to the Lord as they were instructed. And they attended a synagogue service as they were supposed to do it, as they were instructed. And also, as we read here, notice here in Luke 2, I'm going to read, verse 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This, in verse 40, the word for child is talking about, that's what it says, a child. A kindergarten child, small child. It's a different word that we're going to read, that the one from we're going to read in verse 52. That's going to be a boy now. But we're talking about a child. He's growing. The little child is growing. Just like any other child. His body is growing. And he's in there, in that body, being human. 100% human, 100% deity. Now, verse 41. Luke 2:41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, as they were instructed. So you can see the pattern. There's godly parents here. Godly parents. And who wouldn't want, I would vote for Mary and Joseph to be parents of anybody today. I'm not undermining our parents, but I'm saying they're good role models. That's what I'm saying. As good parents. Who wouldn't want to put an orphan child in that family? That would be nice. That would be wonderful. Godly parents who feared the Lord. So they went to the Jewish feast of the Passover. There were three feasts. The Jews were required to go to Jerusalem every year. Which were they? One of them is the Passover. We just read about it. And then what happened 7 weeks or the 50th day after the Passover? Which feast came? The Feast of Pentecost, okay? So that's how we know it was Sunday when Peter was preaching, because after the Passover, you count 7 Saturdays, and that's the 7th Saturday is the 49th day after the Passover, and the 50th day has to be Sunday. There's no other day. It has to be Sunday. If that's the 50th day, so that's how we know that Peter was preaching on a Sunday on the day of Pentecost. because of those Jewish feasts, and Jerusalem was crowded because they were required to go back to Jerusalem. And the other feast, it was the Feast of the Tabernacles, where they celebrated the time where they sojourned in the desert, and they were required to go back to Jerusalem for that feast. Okay, not only did he have spiritual parents or godly parents, I mean Jesus, but Jesus himself was a spiritually minded child. And that's where Luke gives us a picture of his when he was 12 years old. So verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem according to the customs of the feast. Brother Larry, let's see, I'm going to pick on you. I know you know the answer. Why does Luke say that they went up to Jerusalem? Correct? Correct. Geographically, Jerusalem was up. So if you're going to Jerusalem, you're going up. If you're going away from Jerusalem, you're going down. Okay, maybe, that's why he says they were going up to Jerusalem. Okay, I knew you knew that, so very good, good answer. Let's see. That's verse 42. So, they went, he was 12 years old, and they went to this feast, and then verse 43. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. A just very interesting verse. This, it says, when they had finished the days, what does this mean? Well, they have to stay 7 extra days. They have to partake of the Passover, but then there were 7 days to observe the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And that's in Exodus 12:15 and also in Leviticus. 7 more days. So when this week passed, they went back. And Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Why did he want to stay in Jerusalem? What was his motive? Correct. And that's a beautiful statement from Luke that he gives us, that Jesus said. He didn't want to pass the opportunity. He wanted to take advantage of the opportunity to hear the great teachers of the law. He wanted to go and talk with them and hear from them and just sit at their feet of being a child. It's very beautiful how Jesus respected them as a child. He's not smart mouthed. He's not trying to pretend to be smarter than them. He's just like a regular child trying to learn. And he sits under their feet, hearing them and asking them questions. It was not time for him to get them told yet. That time came. It came. But he was really angry at that time, and he got him told, but not now. He's a child. You have to respect older people to start with. And these people were men of God also. So wasn't his time just yet. And he was there being very respectful and didn't want to pass opportunity. Okay. And now it also speaks of the trust his parents had on him. They were traveling in a big company. And as far as I understand, the company traveled, and there were relatives, there were friends traveling together to that feast of Jerusalem. There's a big group living in Bethlehem or Nazareth, and it's time for the feast. They'll travel together, and maybe the young boys hanging out together, all the teenagers talking and just playing or whatever, and then the adults riding along on another part of the caravan, and they just trust him. They knew they had told him the instructions. You're supposed to come with us back home. So they trusted him, but then there was something that, there was a priority on his life. So he said he stayed back in Jerusalem, and then in a day's journey, they looked for him, and they said, well, he's not with us. Let's check with the relatives, or he's not there either. Let's check somewhere else, or he's not there. He must have stayed back. So they've been one day's journey. And as I was reading, a day's journey, they didn't travel too much on a day's journey. Guess why? Yeah, that's one reason, because they walk. But another reason, as far as I was trying to understand this, reading more, they travel a day's journey not so long for that purpose. Because if somebody forgot something back or needed to go back to town, they still had time to go back. But it seems like the second day journey, they went further away, traveled more during the day than the first day journey. But maybe this happened here, maybe it didn't happen. So they got to go back. So let me go back to the text. And verse 44. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among the relatives and acquaintances. Verse 45. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Okay, so they went back to seek him. Now, verse 46. Now it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. So this gives us a little more insight on the culture, how things worked back in those days. So he was there, and when they come and see him, Mary and Joseph, they found him sitting with this, in their view, this high man, this very knowledgeable man, and he was talking to them. They just were amazed. So how is Jesus, our 12-year-old boy's son, talking to these important people? Like maybe picture a peasant talking to a king. And they were marveled, and he was just sitting there with them and talking to them. And of course, the students sat at the feet of the teachers, of the rabbis. They sat at the, that's where we get the phrase sitting at somebody's feet, because they literally sat on the ground at the feet of the teachers. And that's what they were doing. And now, these teachers had different schools, and some of them taught for some income from the students, and they were just out there teaching people. And there's some couple of rabbis very important that we know, like Hillel. He had a school of teaching, had some students as well, and so on. But the way they studied, and we read about this in Matthew 22. Remember when they came to Jesus with several questions, they say, there was a man who had a wife, and then he died, and then he married his brother, and then he died, and so on and so on. They presented cases. That's what the teachers did. They presented cases, and they let the students answer out loud, give solutions to the case, just like they asked Jesus. They presented him a case trying to trap him. And also another man say, is it lawful to give money to Caesar? Another question. And then Jesus answered the question. So that's the fashion of teaching that they had with the students. Questions, cases, and then the students will give the answer. Maybe it's something that we can do today. And it was sort of like a counseling class or I don't know, like we have this case. Okay, let's see, answers. So that's kind of the fashion they were doing it. Okay, so they were amazed. And I'm very good in time. We're almost going to finish. Okay, and then let me go back to the text before I get lost. Okay, so he was sitting with them, listening and asking them questions. Verse 47. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answer. See, very spiritually minded. A young boy. He knew what he came for. He knew his purpose. He was not wasting time. He was not being distracted as a young boy. And they were very impressed with him, even at 12 years old. Now imagine when he was 30 years old and older. Some men say, well, no man has ever spoken like this. And you know, when we're going to talk about Jesus' preaching, but there's an ingredient that makes his preaching just incredible, just out of this world. We stand up here and preach as men, and we have faults. We make mistakes. I can be preaching up there, and I can say something that doctrinally is not right. I can make a mistake like that, or I can have a slip of the tongue and say a word that I wasn't supposed to say, or you know that I've offended somebody before, or I have done something wrong. But can you imagine a preacher who is faultless, sinless? That's something, somebody you must hear. That's somebody you must come to listen to. Because there's nobody who can preach like that. Sinless preacher. And he's a sinless boy here, giving his point of view, giving his divine, opinion on certain matters. These people were amazed at him, at this little boy. I wouldn't be surprised he was just the only little boy there, the only teenager there. Okay, so I'm just going to finish reading this. We still have about 5 more minutes. So, verse 48, so when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, notice, first recorded words of Jesus. As far as being recorded, the first ones are being mentioned here. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Luke couldn't choose any more representative words of Jesus than this. He said, I must be on my father's business. I must do what I came to do. And summarizes his ministry, his life, for that matter. Now verse 50. But they did not understand the statement which he spake to them. How interesting, and it surprises me how so plain he spoke. But often he was just not understood. I don't know, maybe they were expecting something else. Maybe they didn't believe he was who he claimed to be. But a lot of people, they just didn't understand the parables either. And the harder the heart was, just their ears just closed, dumb to what Jesus plainly was teaching. So here we see the parents, they didn't understand what was going on or what he's talking about. They don't understand. Verse 51. So he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things on his heart. He was subject. He learned obedience, as we learn in the book of Hebrews. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And then he became the author of eternal salvation for all of those who believe. So he was in subjection, like any other boy should be in subjection to his parents. And then his mother was pondering and keeping all these things in her heart. Now verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom. He's growing mentally. Jesus increased in stature. He's growing physically. Jesus also increased in favor with God, which speaks of his spiritual growth, and also in favor with men socially. Beautiful example of and description of the first 29 so years of Jesus' life. This was his boyhood. A lot of people want to say, well, he did miracles, he did such and such when he was a little boy. There's no way we can tell this. But what Luke tells us is what God wants for us to know. How he grew and who he was during those first 29 and a half years or 30 years. I like to count 3.5 years of his ministry. But I don't know if there's any comments in the few seconds we have left, about maybe 10, 15 seconds. If there's any question, I have a good idea. Why don't you go ahead and put it on the box back there, and that'll take care of it. And if you have any good comment, yeah, please go ahead. Tell it now. No, I'm just kidding. But it's just a wonderful and a rich study. Just to go and see in the life of Jesus Christ. I'm really also excited that some of you, and at least that I know, have been to those lands. And I'm sure that gives you a lot of insight on what we're reading about. Just reading about it just blows your mind. Now imagine just being in those places, in that setting, and that'll be something else. So any questions? Any comments? Who's that? Yes, okay, yes, correct. Yes, correct. And I mean, being a baby had his purpose, but he grew up, and we have his ministry recorded in more detail than his boyhood, or even being a baby. So that's the general. I'll try to show you the map, next time, if I'm able, and maybe next Sunday, Lord willing, and then we'll see where we are really quick, as far as I told you. But thank you so much. I won't take more of your time. I know we enjoy fellowshipping, and it's time for that. So thank you for your attention. God bless you.